for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 670 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, greetings from the Maglev artist Adam Cahoon and writer Mark Espinosa discuss their engaging comic series, including the second of three volumes, which was just released to their crowdfunding supporters. Adam and Mark are behind this original concept told in comic form. Here's the series description. Using revolutionary technology, the Maglev is a massive, solar-powered superhighway utilizing magnetic roadways. Unfortunately, the only ones capable of using it are those who can afford to, and those who hijack their way in. The rich and the wild. But who cares about all of that? This is a story about good old-fashioned revenge. We talk about how the series came to be, who the various characters are, and what else these creators will be up to in the months ahead. You can order this book through your local comic shop, the InvaderComics.com website, or through their Kickstarter projects. Highly recommended. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they both have to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Hell will always be in the rear view. Greetings from the Maglev is a three-volume graphic novel from artist Adam Cahoon and writer Mark Espinosa. It's a high-octane burn through a dystopian future where everything went bad fast. And I'm talking today with the creators of said book. Let's see, Adam, how are you today?
I'm great. How you doing, Wayne?
Good. It's good to talk to you. There's a trend these days to have the artist's name first, and I guess that's what we're doing here. Your name is first on the cover, as far as I see, and then we'll talk with the writer, Mark. How are you, Mark?
Great. You know, you saying it the way you just did is the first time I kind of realized things went bad fast. I was like, oh, that's an allegory. That's great.
Some people, when I read the descriptions, say, we want to hire you to read our descriptions all the time. But no, I don't think I have time for that, but compliment anyway. So I know from listening, I've listened to a couple of other interviews you have done. There's an interesting history behind this book. Now, volume one is out already, and it's on Invader Comics. And if you go to InvaderComics.com, you'll see it there. But it's also had two Kickstarters, and the Kickstarter for volume two, as I said, this is a three-issue thing. The second volume just was released to the crowdfunding people, and it's going to be the final order cutoff just concluded for the second volume. And according to what I understand, the second volume is going to hit the stands through Invader on January 29th, 2025, which is coming faster than I like. And so all those good things are going on. So let's see. Let's start out with a little bit of the history about this. My understanding was this started like almost 10 years ago. Who's the best one to address these?
Don't say that.
So who's the best one to talk about that?
Mark, you start that one off.
Yeah. It was basically just I had an idea for a story. I pitched it to a buddy of mine, and he kind of proofread it. I had no notes, surprisingly, after my first thing that I pitched to him was basically thrown in a fireplace 20 minutes after he read it. And I had no one else I wanted to work with more than was Adam, because I know Adam had been talking about potentially getting into the world of comics, and he was already a very, I want to say, prolific artist. And, you know, he had a few gallery openings that I had gone to, and we had worked together at a frame shop. So we had always toyed with the idea of maybe doing a book together. And when the idea was kind of all flushed out, I approached Adam, and he luckily was very excited about the idea.
What was it about the idea that excited you, Adam?
I mean, obviously, like for me, the opportunity to work on a project like that with Mark was the big selling point for me. I was kind of at a crossroads in my creative works, and he showed up with a project that meant he and I were going to be, you know, working together for apparently over 10 years now on this one title. And it just, it was such like the dialogue in this book was so like whip smart, like just, it's just fast, just really like sharp. And it was just, it read like the way Mark and I talked to each other. And so that kind of sold me on the whole project. Was just this very clever, like cleverly written dialogue that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the, you know, kind of the excitement of the story.
Very cool. Very good. Now, I do have to commend you guys on your descriptions of yourselves. If we go to the Kickstarter, Mark, it starts out, says, Mark Espinosa is a nonfiction writer with a cabinet full of half-completed scripts to prove it. Which I loved. I thought that was hilarious. Now, but Adam's picture is what got me. He's got a picture. He's got a child on his shoulders, and his face is covered with stickers. The kid is holding the sticker book in the back, and the look on Adam's face with all these stickers hanging off his face is why I don't have kids. This made me laugh. If you ever get a chance, go to the Kickstarter or go to the, it's hilarious. So you guys you market yourself very well. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Just great stuff.
I got real lucky with that picture.
Once in a lifetime shot.
Yeah. You managed to get the camera without them interfering with the camera. That was pretty good. So
Yeah. Huh.
Very good. Very good. So anyway, let's talk a little bit more about the story. And I want to talk about the main character. Who's the best one to ask about that as far as like the development of the character? Is that you, Mark? Or
I feel like it's both of us can handle that somewhat equally. I had always wanted the character to be just kind of a strong female character. And we kind of went in aware of a lot of the pitfalls, a lot of writers and artists do when they kind of like, you know, when two dudes take on a, you know, a female role, like in a story, we try to be very aware of the classic blunders that a lot of, you know, people make. We wanted just to make a really cool hero who happened to be a woman. And then I kind of pitched her what I wanted her to do, what I wanted her aspects of her personality to be kind of like. Adam kind of got a really good gist of that just reading through the dialogue. But then the creation of her and what she looks like, that was really all Adam, and I'll let him speak on that.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, immediately it was clear, you know, when Mark sat down and kind of, you know, because Mark sent me the script, I read it, and then we had, you know, I had him over to my house, I think, and we sat down and talked about it, and it was clear to me immediately what he just said, that it wasn't, you know, obviously this wasn't a story that was trying to play into the fact that she was a female. She was just supposed to be a female character who was given kind of all the sort of freedoms and rights of any hero in a comic book, regardless of, yeah, of her sex. And so that, you know, I wanted her to look, I don't know. I kind of struggled with that look initially. I had, you know, a sketchbook full of different faces and different character types. And then I settled on that because it felt like it wasn't sexualized. It wasn't trying to put her into a specific type of box. She felt sort of just within the first couple of sketches of her, she felt really unique to me, and she felt like she had her own identity kind of right off the bat. And I felt like that was, you know, that was something that seemed really important to Mark when, you know, we first started kind of hashing out this story. And so I kind of pushed into that direction.
Yeah, someone very comfortable in their skin, very aware of, self-aware who they are, the world they live in, you know, the things they will have to kind of battle through on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, hopefully that comes across in the first book, but I mean, Adam really just, I just gave him the script and he was able to, he had to take it from there and build his own idea of what Chris Miles looked like.
I have to tell you, one of the things I really enjoy about the fact that it's a female lead is that after years and years of reading comics, and almost all of them had male leads, I have a fair idea of what the male lead's going to do. if it's a female lead, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I like that. I like being surprised. And she's very surprising, I have to say. Chris Miles is she says and does things that that make me laugh out loud as well as surprise me. So I like the fact that she is something very different. Now, I should read a little of the description of her. She's a highwayman, which is a privatized police force used to patrol and protect the maglev. She's one of the best. She was told this would be her last assignment. All she had to do was babysit the son of the maglev's founder, Victor Hines, I guess, found on a humanitarian mission across the legendary highway. That bit actually goes pretty smoothly. It's when she refuses to play by the rules that she finds herself thrown into prison for a crime she did not commit. And that it all goes downhill from there. So it's, I love the character. I love the fact that she is not what I expect in any way. But I also love the fact that she does not react the way that comic book characters have reacted in the past, shall I say. So yeah. I have to congratulate you guys on making a unique character in a unique situation. So I have no concept as to where you're going to go in the second volume. Enjoyed the first volume tremendously. I how this is going to wrap up, I have to tell you, I have no idea what you're going to do. So I love being surprised. So for with you guys, I just have to say, you've gone where no comic has gone before, and that for me is a wonderful experience. So thank you for doing that.
It's a hell of a compliment.
Yeah, and again, hearing you read it and talk about it, I'm like, wow, I think I kind of want to read this book. Yeah. I'm like, damn, that sounds great.
Well, I have to say, I've read a lot of comics in my day, and I have literally been surprised only, like I can count on my hand the number of times I've been truly surprised by a book. But this book really surprised me. That's only the first volume. I literally sat there going like, what did she do? And I have to go back and say, wait a second, I have to go back and read that again because I can't believe she actually did that. So it's a lot of fun to read. It is something special. Now, that of course speaks to Mark's writing, but I also want to talk about Adam's artwork because it is so unique. Now, first thing, this is black and white, which is unusual in comics these days. Back in the days of the Turtles, everybody did black and white. But yeah. Now, it's unusual to see a black and white comic book. But from my understanding, Adam, you came from an artistic experience. You went a different route to get into comics than most people do. A lot of people come from wanting to be in comics. You wanted to be an artiste, basically, and you moved on into comics from there.
Yeah, so I got my BFA in fine art, and I'd set out to be a painter with a capital P. And I, you know, was lucky enough to get gallery representation. I had a bunch of solo shows. I had a bunch of group shows. And then I realized that, you know, pretty quickly that I really didn't like that community, like that world. Like once you get kind of out of school and into the world of like collectors and dealers and gallery owners, it just wasn't a good fit. And I sort of didn't know what I'd wanted to do, after that. And then Mark kind of got me back into illustration, because he was writing articles for a website that needed, you know, kind of pop culture comic book illustrations. And that kind of rekindled that creative endeavor for me. And then, you know, when he came with that script, I was like, this is, you know, it couldn't have been more perfectly timed. And because, you know, I was a lapsed comic fan. Like I was a comic fan when I was, you know, in high school and like elementary school, but I kind of put that all aside to become a painter and to kind of pursue that path. And then because of Mark, I've now fully committed myself to the world of comics once again, in a much bigger way now.
100% Mark's fault. That's,
yeah. Oh, it was 100%. I wasn't looking at comics until you texted me.
When you're at the Eisners in a couple of years, accepting a trophy for one of the many projects you're working on, and you're this is all Mark,
this is all
you
Mark's
bastard,
fault.
You did. You're the reason I'm here.
Well, see, there's so many things that intrigue me about this because I've listened to a couple of other interviews you guys have done. You guys met in a framing shop, is what I understand.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, we both, I was there before Adam came along, and then Adam came along and changed my life forever.
I can see why you guys get along.
I think we hit it off immediately. I think that on day one, I was like, oh, this is going to be fine.
Yeah. And then we proceeded to wear the same outfit every day accidentally for about a year straight.
Now, I understand, though, is that you're going to black and white. After being a painter, you know, going to black and white is quite a switch. Did you do that? Of course, a lot of people go to black and white because of the expense of color. Did you go to black and white because you wanted to go into black and white, or did expense play a role in that as well?
No, it wasn't expense. It was, I want to say Mark called for it to be black and white. I want to say, I don't really remember, other than that I had never colored a comic book before. And that's a very different animal than painting a painting. So I don't know if it was just my own limitations and kind of playing within those boundaries. But I feel like even at one point we talked about color and I thought you suggested that we keep it in black and white.
You bring it. It's a very important detail to kind of discuss that this is the first like comic book that Adam and I have ever worked on. So a lot of it, we were kind of not making it up as we go, but learning as we go, where how big does this page have to be? How many pages does it need to be? How many panels? Where do the panels go? Do we design that while we make the book? Do we write the script and then add that to it? We did everything a little sideways, but it was really just kind of a big learning process for both of us. So, I mean, maybe just the element of black and white seemed easier, but looking at what Adam has done with just the black and white, it seems like it was what the book is kind of meant to be, and I can't imagine it any other way. It's great.
So you wouldn't go back and color it then?
No.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Or if we did, it'd be like spot colors, or you know, like one of those one of the like black, white, and red books, like something like that. But I don't know, or maybe just tones, but I like black and white books in general.
Now, you do black and white very interestingly, too, because you've got shades of gray involved in it, which is, I think, is really helpful. Because some people, when they do black and white, well, what they do is they just knock out all the color, and they what they call noir versions of it. Yeah. I never really go for that.
Yeah, I put so many of the tones and the filled in crosshatches. Because I was pretty uncertain in my ability to pull off like what you were saying, like a strictly black and white book, like a comic with the color just stripped out. Like I wanted it. I didn't think I could pull that off. I wanted it to give readers something a little bit more interesting than that. I wanted it to look like what we intended was a black and white book. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, because what you're trying to do is you're actually using the black and white medium, which, not everybody does effectively, but I think you do that quite well. Shades of gray and stuff add to it, because I love seeing something that actually uses the medium well. And I think that was what this book does so much. I have to say, too, I like your ability to show expressions, Adam. You know, sometimes I laugh right out loud looking at them, especially that Chris. When she comes up and she says some stuff, she says, one guy says stuff, and how long can you hold your breath? He goes to her, and she looks shocked, and then she says, I'm sorry, I think my brain just tried to escape through my face holes.
Yeah.
Goes, you know, that's a brilliant combination of writing and artwork, because the look of stun she has in one panel, suddenly she's like, oh, brother, look in the next panel when she's saying that. So her ability to say stuff and to do expressions and stuff is just – I really enjoyed it, because I thought that was a powerful storytelling with it. And not every comic does that very well, in my opinion.
Well, thank you.
I feel like Adam and I play off really each other really well. I feel like just from the script I had originally, I don't want to say too much has changed, but definitely some lines of dialogue have changed a little bit upon seeing what Adam did. Like there would be a basic idea in a panel or a page, and Adam would just like propel it so further than I had imagined it, that I'm like, oh, well, I have to kind of change the dialogue a little bit to kind of match this new sense of like madness that Adam just created, or just brilliance. And it was really complimentary and fun to kind of read the script when I wrote it, see what he drew, and then kind of like piecing it in to see if it not that it didn't fit, but like if it just was a way to kind of elevate it to match Adam's style.
Well, so many times, because I am an editor of an indie comic, and the thing that was really interesting, you know, the writer would write the script, and then it would go to the artist, and the pages would come back, and there were things that the artist did that the writer never thought of that moved the script, and the next time he would write it, boy, I got to remember to incorporate that the next time we do that, because he's changed something, even just subtly, and it made the story better. From the writer's perspective,
yeah.
I think that's such a great thing.
I think the collaborative process, you know, that is inherent to comics is really good for that. I mean, it's sort of like the rising tide that raises all the ships, you know, and you know, Mark was clear kind of from the gate that this wasn't his book that I was drawing. This was supposed to be our book together. And so I had kind of that freedom to draw and to push the story and, you know, as much as I could in directions that I thought would benefit it. And so it was just a wonderful, you know, working experience with Mark, because, you know, nothing was too precious to him, you know, nothing that he wrote was so precious that I didn't feel like I had the room to be creative within that world.
Also, me giving Adam really nothing to work with at times, really kind of like, you know, so she gets in the bus and then the bus drives away. Have fun, buddy. And then, okay, let's see. Let me, what can I do? Well, I guess I could just draw a chaotic metaphoric scene of, you know, Chris and her trials and tribulations in the horizon in the background. Yeah, sure. I'll just do that, because that's really, Mark didn't tell me anything else to do. So I'll, I'll improvise a little bit.
Well, I have to tell you, there are certain script writers who believe that gold drips from their pen.
Yeah.
People are not allowed in any way, and I could name names, but I won't. That artist isn't like, even on television, you would write a television script, they'd rush it right down, and the actors are supposed to read it verbatim that's in the script. And I'm like, I don't know, you miss so much when that happens. And
yeah, so
I'm glad you guys are doing this the way that you are, because it really reflects on the book. It makes it, I think, more exciting to read.
No, I think that's an excellent analogy, because you never know what kind of excitement or energy is going to be there in the moment, or like, yeah, like in the scene, like on a TV show, or when you're seeing a panel on a page for the first time, you know, like I can write this grand idea, but just seeing what Adam creates, it kind of, you can't resist just having your brain just explode and go, wait a minute, this kind of changes things a little bit in a good way. Let me play around with this and see. It's really cool that we both were able to kind of play off each other in that way.
Well, there's another panel on there where the car is vrooming or crumbling along, and somebody apparently falls out of the car, and the person's saying, I have some regrets. I guess he regretted they didn't put his seatbelt on or something, because, God, that was hilarious. Stuff like that just made this book really entertaining to me. It was the combination of a brilliant script and the funny, the great illustration. I just thought that makes this thing something special.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example, because I honestly cannot remember how that scene – because I'm looking at it right now, and, I mean, I can't remember if I wrote that or if Adam – drew it and had a guy flying off, and I'm like, oh, it'd be kind of funny if I add that line to it. Or the opposite, Adam was like, hey, I wrote this scene, I drew the scene, and I just imagined this guy saying that when he went flying off. But it's kind of cool not to know where certain things originated from, you know, whose brain, but it kind of feels like a good, you know, amalgamation of both our imaginations.
Well, it's organic. And there's another scene on the same page down the very last thing. There's a guy holding a knife, and he's got there's a big black word balloon that says, I'm being violent. Yeah, made me laugh when I read that. We kind of get that. That was sometimes the going beyond makes it a lot more fun for us, because, you know, we, that's not what you see in comics. And by the way that you're adding to it, you're making it a lot more, you're using not only the illustration, but the words to drive the point home. And if you go sometimes a little bit beyond, it makes it all that much more funnier, which I just think that so many of these time pages are that way. I turn the page and I start laughing out loud the moment I see it, because there's all these wonderful things going on.
That's a great point. You reminded me of someone that we definitely need to. We got to mention the letter squids.
Oh yeah,
Justin. Again, it's kind of the same collaborative effort where Adam drew all the panels. I tried to match up the dialogue with certain scenes, but again, he just took what we gave him and like the I'm being violent, the bloody, like violent little chaotic font that he used. That was all him. Like we did not suggest any kind of like how it should look, what words should be better that bigger than others and what kind of font you should use. He just kind of read the book, took his own energy and put it into it. And again, this like on three different levels, this book was just a passion project of people just bringing what they see into the scene with their imagination and just creating just one cohesive, beautiful book. And it's something I really still look back at and like impressed with and feel very excited about.
Well, you guys are making each other look better as you go along. Because I don't know who comes up with this stuff, but I just enjoy it. And of course, when it's dialogue, I tend to credit the writer. But if it's artwork, then I tend to credit the artist and stuff. So you guys, the way that you work together makes this book really sparkle. Like I said, I don't know who's doing what, but I like it.
Yeah, I think part of what helps this book is, you know, that Mark and I were friends for years before this book happened, before either of us were really, you know, working in this medium at all, you know. And Mark and I kind of came together because of our shared sense of humor. I think it was, you know, this guy makes me laugh, I think I make him laugh. And then I think that that's what you're seeing in this book is like, we're both trying to make each other laugh, you know. Like I'm like, I'm going to draw this picture. I know Mark's going to see it. I bet he chuckles when he sees it. You know, and I think there's kind of this back and forth of jokes happening.
Yeah, 100%.
Where'd the idea come from? I mean, as far as like, because dystopian societies are everywhere and stuff like that, but this one is a very unique take on it. Where did the idea come to take dystopian society in a very different angle? I mean, was that Mark your idea? Or was it the two of you together that did that?
It came from a few different directions. The book was originally supposed to be a kind of side door sequel to a comic book series that had come out a couple years earlier by a publishing company called AIT, run by Larry Young. We had toyed with the idea of doing a sequel to his Black Diamond series, and he had mentioned he had liked it. He kind of was into it, but the idea kind of drifted so far away from that central premise that we were like, well, you know, let's just make this into our own idea. So instead of like one highway that kind of existed, we wanted to create a super highway of like a network of highways across the entire country. And then we just threw in this element of, you know, a magnetic super highway that was built out of necessity out of the oil shrinkage. And then from there, just like dystopian society that kind of grew up around it. But then I kind of remember Adam and I kind of going back and forth about the whole maglev idea about, well, we want to do a highway, but we want to make it different. We want to add a little certain bit of element to it. And I feel like, Adam, you sent me a news article one day about a magnetic highway. We were like, oh, that's so cool. We could probably do that. And then from there, we kind of changed the idea around like, well, wait, it's a magnetic superhighway based on solar energy. Wait a minute. So like now we can have this group of people who are controlling the energy, and then how it becomes this place of only certain people can drive on it. And it's not hard to pull examples from our day-to-day lives and world where we can kind of envision something like this happening. I mean, every day I see we kind of get closer and closer to it.
Well, I have to say, I saw when I did a Google on maglev, there are maglevs out there. This is,
yeah.
I was shocked when I said, wait a minute, this is based on reality.
Yeah. 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 I think, you know, like Mark said, it was all, you know, it was, much more tangible. It was a much more like, you know, just regular US highway cutting across the country. And I feel like we needed something that separated the classes, because it's very much about kind of this poor society that lives on either side of the highway, and only the super rich can drive it. And I had to, you know, I think I was looking for an idea to make it more, to be able to privatize it, to make it more exclusive. And I started, you know, I read some articles on maglevs, and I was like, oh, I think that's it. Cause only the rich can afford the magnetic vehicles, and now the poor are stuck with their, you know, almost like Cuba, they're stuck with their US cars from the 1950s. And so they're having to like kind of build these cars and make them work, but they can't get up to where all the rich people are.
Now, one thing, too, that separates this book from others, this is like an 80-page book. It's black and white.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing.
Well, most comics are like 22, 24 pages if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But this is an 80-page book, so you get your money's worth when you get this book. So that intrigued me as well.
Yeah, I had never drawn a comic in my life, and Mark puts a 180-page book in front of me and says, "Here you go, draw this."
There's this, I wish I could find the artist, but there was a web comic that I see that I always think about whenever I think about this book, where it's an artist and a writer on a stage at like a comic book convention. And the writer is like, "See, what's great about comic books is that, like,
instead of
making a movie, you know, where you have to like pay for a budget and screen, you could just tell the artist, like, hey, man, it's a space scene and like 1,000 ships show up and each ship is different and each alien is different." And the comic strip, the panel ends with the artist just like jumping over the table and strangling the writer.
Because I have to say, I've always thought that the writer has the easier part of this. I've seen people where a script says, "The building exploded." And that's all the writer writes. And then the artist is supposed to take it from there. And that's a full page. You know, the writer's job is done, but the artist is probably going to be spending like a month trying to get that to look
like something. Yeah, that's a couple days worth of work right there for five words in
the
sentence.
The guilt factor was not something I was prepared to handle. Okay, buddy, well let's go. And then I'm like, oh no, what have I done to this poor friend of mine?
Well, it really has turned out superbly. I have to say, it is a brilliant, hilarious, and unexpectedly funny at times comic. Now, of course, number one is out. You can order that now through Invader Comics. Number two is, as we said, it's coming out late January. Although the final order cutoff is just passed, let your store know that you want that. Maybe they can get the order in and make sure that they get that into the store in time for that.
You should be able to still pre-order from the Invader site when they get it.
That's right. That's right. If you can't get through there, you can go to invadercomics.com and get it through there. Now, I've got to ask a question, though. Of course, you know, all this leads up to issue 3, or volume 3, maybe we should call it. Any idea how this is all done? Mark, is the script done, and Adam is working on the art?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, the idea from point A to point B, all those years ago, was handed. Like, we know where it's going. We know how it's going to get there. We zigged and zagged a little bit, but we always kind of knew, like, the main points of this would bring you this would go to here, and then it would end with this.
Yep.
Wow. So you've been sitting around for a couple of years while Adam's drawing? Is that the idea?
Well, I haven't. So I drew – you gave me the script in, like, at the end of 2015 – and I think I drew the first book. The first book took me a year, and then I went right into the first chapter, and I went right into the second chapter, and that took me another year. And then we kind of stopped, and we tried to print it ourselves at one point, somewhat successfully.
We had a few publishing companies kind of interested in it, and then you have someone who's potentially going to pick it up, sell it, put it through their company, but then the person you're working with is no longer with them anymore. So then it kind of gets put in limbo for a little bit. And then, it just kind of sits in a drawer. And then you meet somebody at a comic book convention and you strike up a conversation. And then, hey, I have a publishing company.
Well, from my understanding, you guys have been involved with Invader from the start, right?
Yeah, 2020. I think I met Mike. I met him initially on Twitter. And then we realized at the time I was in the Bay Area and he's still in the Bay Area. We realized that we were, kind of right down the street from each other. And so we got together and had coffee. And so I've been talking to Mike since 2020. We were outside wearing masks. It's great.
I'm glad it worked out because, not every publisher and creator's situation works out. So I'm glad that this worked out. And of course, Invader has their unique way of approaching stuff. As it says on the Kickstarter, it says, "Close your windows, lock your doors. We're coming for you." We're invading the spaces we have no business being in, knocking down the barriers and stuff. I love that description of it. And I enjoy a lot of what Invader Comics does. And so for me, this is it's a perfect place for this comic to be. So I'm glad you guys landed there.
Yeah, as am I.
Yeah, they, Mike's been great.
Yes, it's interesting you have worked with a few different people, having a company like Invader come along and just be, oh, fine, whatever you need. Yeah, absolutely, no worries. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, oh, whatever, you guys are awesome. And I'm like, I keep waiting for the shoe to, you know, the other shoe to drop or something, but it's been a very cooperative relationship, and I really dig that.
Yeah.
So let's find, but where is Volume 3 right now? Because the script's been turned in. Adam obviously is working on it. Are you making lots of progress with it, Adam?
Yeah. So right now I have, Adam. Right now I'm about, I think, halfway done with the inks. And then I think Mark's got some retooling for the back half of the book. But we're about halfway done with that one right now.
Yeah. The learning as we go process was basically like, I did the entire script, gave Adam book one, and we kind of collaboratively worked on that together. And then when we found Letter Squids, we kind of had to kind of work again on it. Like, okay, well, here's the script. Here are the pages. We need to get this dialogue into those pages. So it's been a kind of a project working with him on that aspect of it. And then book two is kind of the same thing again, where I go, here's the script, here are the pages, here's how everything kind of goes together. And there's a little bit of back and forth of like, well, this doesn't really fit there, this doesn't fit there, but this would be better here, and I'm going to do this word. So kind of building the second book. So then that process kind of has to happen again in the third book.
Well, see, this is a perfect example to me of how the comics format is such a good place for storytelling. Because, you know, you guys get together and you make a book, your first book, and I think it sparkles. I think it's just one of those great books that everybody should know about and be buying it, because it's such an interesting and unusual bit of storytelling that, God, I love that when things are so unexpectedly wonderful. You know, when I found out this was your first book, I was like, oh my gosh, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like you guys have been doing this forever. Thank you. That I just have to congratulate you guys. Such a good job. For if this is the first one, well, I kind of doubt it in some levels, but I think this is really a terrific start for both of you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, Adam's career is up and right. I mean, we got to talk about at least some of the books he's working on. Like, you know, with the company you're with now is Vault.
Yeah, I'm a designer and production associate with Vault Comics. And I largely got that job because Mark convinced me to draw comics.
Let's what projects are you working on with Vault so we can keep an eye out for it?
So right now we have Goobers coming out, and I did the the logo design and the main the design elements for that. We got Godfather of Hell coming out, Lilith is coming out, and I've got, you know, little bits of design and work on kind of all the books that are coming out right now.
That's great.
Cool.
That's
awesome. Very good. So, Mark, if he's busy with Vault, what are you busy with?
Keeping the world happy.
are you filling up your closet with more half-finished scripts? Is that the idea?
Oh, you know it. I woke up this morning in the middle of the night with a dream I had that I was like, this will be an excellent book. And when I reread it to myself, here, I'll give you a little hint, a little sneak preview. They are like children who decide the rules, start the test on humans. Multi-level rat maze, snake, matter reclaimer, snake, sorry, Dykstra. So whatever that means, that's going to be probably what I'll be working on the next 2 years.
So Adam going to draw that for you? Is that what's going
to happen? I think I need some revisions.
Well, I can see why you guys get along, and the book really shows that the great collaboration between the two of you. I'm looking forward to seeing your names. If I see your names on something, I'm going to be sure to buy it, because it's great. Just terrific. Now, if people want to follow you guys on social media, how do they do that? Let's start with Mark. Where do we follow you?
I mean, with this day and age of deleting my ex, staying on Instagram. So Instagram is probably the best place, because that seems to be a good touching off spot for other locations. But I am on there. My handle is Mark E. Espinosa. That's two E's in the middle.
Okay. And Adam, how about you?
Similar story. I'm on Instagram and Blue Sky. And my handle on both is Adam C. Cahoon. So it's two C's in the middle.
Did you guys plan that or something?
No.
Nope.
No.
that's kind of like what our friendship has been, where we just have these moments of like, wait a minute, wait, oh, that's kind of weird, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. Anyway, moving on.
Well, it's great stuff. Well, you guys have other projects to do. I hope you'll let me know, and we'll talk about them again in the future, because it's been fun talking with you guys, and much success. Yeah. I cannot wait for the third book to show up, because I think it's going to be something that we're all going to really enjoy. Again, it's
I hate to say it, but it's the best one. It's my favorite one, for sure. I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy.
You're not going to set the standards really high, are you?
Yeah.
Like we've been saying, like, this was our, like, Adam's first book. So you can kind of see him fine tuning his style through. And I think you kind of drew them mostly chronologically, right? So as you read book one from page one to page 9,000, and then the one shot story at the end, you can kind of see this evolution and strengthening of Adam's style that is just amazing.
Come on.
Well, I enjoyed it too. I'll go in on that too. I want to put my money on that one as well, because it's a great book to read. It's different. I love something that's unique and different, because as I said, I've been reading along. When I open up a comic, many times I look at the first page, I know exactly where it's going to end up on the last page. This book, I have no idea, and I love not knowing.
Perfect. It's such a perfect.
That's the way I went. Again, it's Greetings from the Maglev, and it comes out through Invader Comics. The very first volume, we should say, is already available. You can order that. I think you can pre-order the second one through Invader Comics, but you can let your local comic shop know as well, and they should be able to order it too. So any way that you can get it, get your hands on Greetings from the Maglev. And you guys, it's going to be great fun following your careers and seeing what other things you're going to be doing. So all I can say is keep up the wonderful stuff. It's great reading.
Awesome. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, Wayne. This is really wonderful.
Yeah. It's also the first time I've talked to Adam this long in a while. So, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. You want to catch up? You want to stay on the line a little bit?
I got a few minutes.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol...
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support this show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.